Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Green.
Welcome to Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation. This podcast is brought to you by Las Vegas Review-Journal, presented by Blue Wire. We're your hosts, Ed Graney and Adam Hill. We're here each week to give you some of our thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders before entering into the world of news and other topics we find interesting. Here we go. Adam, just a little while ago, Vinny Bonsignor of the Review-Journal, headline, Raiders players vote to skip voluntary offseason workouts. Now, we've seen other teams do this up until now. The probability is most will follow suit. But the Raiders have voted, and they will not. They will not do off-season workouts. They will do all virtual OTAs. So bring us through this: the Patriots, the Lions, the Buccaneers, the Broncos, all skipping OTAs. What's going on here in the NFL, and what do you really think is at the crux of this, of why they're not going to virtuals? Is it really COVID, or is there more to it?
Well, I don't even think they're pretending that it's COVID. If you really read into the statements, and I'll get to that in a second. I first want to go to the. Some of the stuff that I've seen online, I know when this started to bubble up and a couple teams kind of said they weren't going to participate in offseason programs, I saw some Raider fans start to jump into the Raiders care more about those teams. They're going to participate in the offseason workouts because they care about winning. They are focused and dedicated on winning this year. First of all, stop it. Stop it. I get that you as a fan, and this is fans everywhere that do this, but you as a fan want to think your team is different and your team is better and all this. Every team in the league is focused on winning and cares about winning. That's just what goes on. At a professional level, you find a guy here and there that might not care, but my goodness, everyone cares. But also don't go the other way either. Don't overreact and say, well, the Raiders opted out of this. They don't care. It's not the case. And don't base any kind of determination on how much a team cares or how passionate they are or anything about that based on what they do here. This is standing behind the union.
This is union motivated. Yeah.
The union made this recommendation, and the players are voting to actually do what their union asked them to do. It wasn't a unanimous vote. It wasn't an easy vote. It wasn't an easy decision. Several players on the Raiders and on teams around the league have bonuses that they get for showing up for workouts, and they're going to have to forfeit those or – as the Raiders talked about today in their statement, they'll figure something out was basically what they were saying. So, you know, there are guys that are taking a financial hit for not doing this, but this is a union initiative to not participate in this. And there's several reasons for this. First of all, let's not forget that the league just determined that they are going to play an extra game this season. There will be 17 games, not 16. That's an extra week of wear and tear on the body. Let's also not forget that they just did off-season programs last year, and the players will tell you it really didn't impact things. Now, I think coaches
– it actually worked.
Yeah, I think some coaches will tell you, yeah, I would have rather had them in. I think we would have been better if they were in. I know some Raiders fans will point to the fact that, hey, when things weren't going well for the Raiders last year, there was a lot of talk of, well, we didn't have an off-season program and we had a lot of new players. And that's all fair. I can understand that. But for the most part, the season went off without a hitch. Players didn't come in out of shape. They actually were in great shape when they got to training camp because they were holding each other accountable for doing their own work on their own time and not having to be in the facility. Things got done virtually in terms of installing, and everyone had a season to get better at this. So this you know, procedure and the new method of kind of, you know, communicating, those are all getting better and better. You know, by the day, I mean, we learned how to do podcasts not in the same place. We learned how to do videos not in the same place. Players did the same thing. They learned how to go through Zoom meetings. They learned how to get all their stuff installed without having to be there. Yeah. So I think what they're saying is, hey, you don't need us as much in the off season as you had in the past. Let's revisit how much we actually have to be there, considering we're playing a 17th game. And this is kind of their way of holding to that and saying to the league, hey, we don't think as players we need to do this. So I wouldn't read in one way or the other in terms of, like, you know, this team is opting out and this team is not participating, so they clearly don't care. Or my team cares more than your team, so I know they are going to show up. Like, those things are just silly.
They're doing one thing. They're standing behind their union, not like you said, in a uniformed way to where everyone has voted to do this. But majority rules on the vote, I suppose, and that's what it was. And now they're going to stand behind their union. How much do you think also this is like they? I don't know who wanted the seventh game or not. Again, you had different opinions. Some did, some probably didn't. But you know, this could also be, could it be termed a negotiating tactic by the union? The union's one that told these guys to stay away.
Yeah, a little bit. And listen, the 17th game was voted on. It was part of the CBA. It was in there. It's not like the owners weren't within their rights to do this. But I'm fairly certain that when the players and the Players Association last year voted for the 17th game and basically voted to say, hey, at some point you can put this in, that they didn't think it was going to happen this quickly. So I think it was, hey, we'll vote so the 17th game could be allowed at some point. And then, oh, you're putting it in right now. Let's do this. So is it a negotiating tactic? I think everything that ever happens in sports is kind of a negotiating tactic between players and owners. So, yeah, there's a part of that. It is negotiating tactic. I think a small part is also COVID. But, you know, I did see people firing back about the COVID situation saying, you know, there's still the people that say it's just the flu. Newsflash, we've got like close to 1 million people dead. Not the flu. So stop saying that. Also, I see people saying, well, it doesn't affect athletes. Did you listen to Jason Tatum the other night? Like, again, death is not the only side effect of this. It's not.
Wait, Jason Tatum, has anyone ever heard of the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, well, but
are you kidding me?
In their case, they're not playing because they have an outbreak and that is still going on. We get that. But
it still exists.
But people, to the notion that people say, well, this doesn't affect professional athletes. It only affects old people. First of all, silly.
Oh, come on.
Silly. But also, Jason Tatum is struggling this year. And, you know, he said the other day, you know, I've never had to use an inhaler after games before. I have to every game this year. And, yeah, that probably affects him to some degree. Like, death is not the only toll that this takes. So let's just get that stupid notion out of the way that it's just the flu or anything. That's just silly. You're bringing, you know, nonsense junk from the internet into this. But let's move on from that and just say this is not about COVID. Like, it's an easy coverall to say it is.
No, it's not. This is not COVID.
But read the statement from the Raiders, and people will say, well, they started off with COVID in the statement. They did, but you have to read closely sometimes. In this statement, the first paragraph, we have come together as a team to discuss the important issues related to our health and safety. We know the devastating impact COVID-19 has had on our membership, our families, and our home city of Las Vegas this past year, and we continue to feel for everyone in our community and our country who has been impacted by the coronavirus. Period. That's it.
Yeah, that does not say that they're opting out because of COVID.
Right. What you get to the second paragraph, it says, given the data and facts shared by our union about reduced injuries and other health benefits of the virtual offseason last year, players from our team will not participate in a voluntary in-person workout program. Yeah. There you go. Like, this is so, COVID was first in the statement. But that's not what the statement is about. The statement is about the fact that last offseason went well virtually, and they want to do this again, and they want to revisit. Yeah, they want to revisit potentially where this is. I'll just finish up. We respect those players on our team and across the NFL who have contractual incentives linked to their participation in the program, but we stand in solidarity with our fellow players who are making the best decision on behalf of themselves and their families. So again, this is about how well last offseason went. Yeah. This is about saying, hey, you put a 17th game in, so this is our trade-off. We're not going to participate in these voluntary activities in the offseason.
It's all negotiation.
And it's all – and by the way, it finishes up. We stand in solidarity. This is a union play. And so don't read into anything else besides that.
Oh, solidarity, that's all you need to know for a union. I mean, just that word. Solidarity is a union. We'll keep an eye on that, but they have now, as we said, opted out. More teams – I don't know about you. I'm really going to be surprised that we're hearing some teams, the younger players want to do whatever. I'm going to be surprised if anyone does this. I can't believe there won't be more and more teams that just follow suit here. And I'm surprised actually there haven't been more. We now have the Raiders, the Buccaneers, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Lions. We're hearing about the Bears now. I'm sort of surprised we haven't heard from everyone because Monday, I believe, is when the official start date is for these voluntary workouts. You and I have talked about this. You might want to do this and you might vote to go ahead and with your OTAs. But don't be the team that where four or five guys pop positive, because while it's not about COVID, the perception on the outside will be is how in the world did you do that when, you know, the perception is about COVID and you go to these voluntary workouts and three or four guys get COVID.
Absolutely true. Although people won't care that much because they won't miss games. And so I would make the argument that people don't really care about athletes getting COVID because they're, you know, selfish and they don't really it doesn't matter to them until it bothers their life. So they won't care if there's COVID if the guys don't miss a game. But yeah, I think absolutely the coverage of that would be, why are you doing this when other teams decided not to out of safety? You decided you had to do it and go forward. The other thing I want to see on this, if that does happen, what happens to these teams that have voted to opt out if two or three teams say they're going to participate? If a couple teams say they're going to go, do some teams start to change their mind or kind of waffle on their decision, knowing that some players are in there getting work? I don't know. That's something to absolutely
watch. I don't think you can release a statement like the Raiders did and then go back on it.
Well, I think what you're trying to do is rally support.
Well, they're giving the perception, though, in that first paragraph, even though you and I both know it's not true, that it is about COVID. So then if you go back and let's say for whatever reason, no one wants it to happen, three guys get COVID. That's a bad look when you release a statement like that and the first paragraph's about COVID and then three guys go get it because you go back. So I don't think they'll come back. Now, you know they'd want to because you know those players want to be on the field. And Gruden, you know, right now he's not happy that they're not going to be on the field. But I just don't think they come back off this.
Yeah, and I do wonder what they're trying to do right now by making all these announcements and teams that are announcing that they're not doing it is trying to, you know, again, solidarity and show,
they're trying to force
show unity. Sure. And yeah, force every other team to make the same decision and stand by it. So we'll see if teams follow. I just, like I said, I am interested in what happens if a couple teams say they are participating. And then if that changes the dynamic of some of the other teams.
All right, real quick now, we've got some more news on the team, Adam. Arden Key and Research both released today, that we're talking Thursday night. Why did that happen, and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is very interesting, one more than the other. First of all, it does clear a little bit of cap space. They have, you know, they're up against it. They don't have really any maneuverability here to kind of make any moves that might come down the pike. And maybe they are setting up something big. Maybe they're setting up a couple smaller moves. But they are still trying to find some flexibility in the cap. And I wouldn't completely 100% rule out exploring bringing at least one of them back. I don't know what their plans are necessarily on that. But definitely it's a maneuverability thing with the money. They brought in a bunch of defensive linemen that they believe in, that they trust, that they think are going to be really good for them. The Arden Key move, I think, is not very surprising. I think releasing Arden Key is something I thought would have happened earlier in the offseason. I think it was only surprising that he was still around, that he was still on the roster. In fact, I had to, I'm kind of looking back through all the draft picks the Raiders have had the last 3 years and just kind of, you know, grading how they've done. And I had to look again and be like, wait, Arden Key is still on the roster. Like, that's crazy that he survived a lot of these cuts. And then all of a sudden the next day after I'm researching that, he finally is released. And again, he's been one of the more frustrating players because everybody sees the talent. Everybody knows what he can do. He's said over and over again he's about to break out, and then you see signs on the field that he might be about to break out, and then it just never happens. So I can understand the Arden Key move, even though I think he does still have talent, and maybe he goes somewhere else and flourishes. It just hasn't been the case here. So that makes a ton of sense. On the other side, Maurice Hurst is an interesting move to me. Maurice Hurst, a guy with first-round talent, fell to the fifth round of the Raiders back in 2018 because he had a heart condition. People were kind of concerned about that. There were some medical flags that were raised. And then they get him, and he hasn't played to the level of a first-round talent, but he certainly showed why there was so much optimism and so much enthusiasm about his abilities coming in the league. He's gotten better every single year this past year. In terms of defensive tackles, he was in the top 10% of pressure rates in all of football. The guy's been really good. He's been a stalwart, I think, against the run and the pass. Held his own in the middle of the defensive line. I think Maurice Hurst has a ton of value. I think he's a really good player, and I was a little bit surprised that they made this move in releasing him. He will, you know, like I said, maybe he comes back on cheaper deal. I don't know what the plan is to do with him, but I think he can go somewhere and be really, really good. I think there's going to be a team that's very excited that the Raiders cut ties with him if they're able to get him, because that's a guy that can absolutely play and absolutely impact your defense.
I think we should – mentioned that the Raiders did get a safety, finally.
Yeah, they brought Carl Joseph.
And Carl Joseph. Everything old is new again.
They brought that guy that they moved on from, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, he did move on. They moved on, and he did as well. But here's the thing. I do think it's weird. I think there has been a little bit of overreaction to Carl Joseph. Like, there is, like, a segment of Raider fandom that is, like, acting like they just signed an all-pro safety to come in and, you know, save the day at that position. I think that's kind of nuts. But here's the thing. He is a really good player. He's a guy that absolutely can step in. He's not going to blow the world away, but he's got the physicality. He's got the athleticism. He's got, I think the leadership abilities that are going to come in handy there. He's definitely got the respect of the locker room. I think it is a good signing. Again, I think there's people that are overreacting and there's people that are underreacting. Some are saying, like, who cares? Carl Joseph, what does it matter? I don't think that's fair, but I also don't think it's fair to think that, you know, you just signed the greatest safety.
And I'll give him this. He played in the box a lot when he was here before and he got hurt, and that's a much different, more physical place to play. So maybe you put him at free safety in Gus Bradley's system and you're pretty much a center fielder kind of roaming around back there, having to be the last line of defense. Maybe he's a lot better. I think he played a lot of free safety in Cleveland, so maybe they just play him in a different role than when he was here before and it works out better for him.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think he can be a key piece. And let's not forget, I mentioned some of the respect that he has in the locker room already. Like, this is what the secondary needs. I think, you know, Jeff Heath brings a little bit of that, but he's a guy that just came in last year. Carl Joseph, was around the Raiders his whole career until he spent the 1 year in Cleveland. And I think people kind of, look up to him a little bit. And that's kind of needed. They need that, that personality that, can be a leader in the secondary, because they've got guys, and we know Jonathan Abram is a vocal leader and he's got respect in that locker room, but you have somebody that's been around for a few years. All the other guys in the secondary, for the most part, are guys that are brand new, that are just learning the job, that are just kind of finding themselves in the NFL. And Carl Joseph can kind of be that, that influence that's there. I mean, the coaches do that, but you need players that are veterans that have some respect. Yeah. And I think Carl Joseph is one of those. So I do think there's some impact to the signing of Carl Joseph. It doesn't mean I don't think they should take a safety in the draft, because I do. And if there is another guy, on the market that they have some interest in, I don't think this should preclude them from, pursuing ways to get better at safety still. But I do think that there is a little bit of impact for the Carl Joseph signing.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, like, I agree with you also. They will bring in young defensive backs definitely in the draft, whether it's corners or safeties, and he'll be a good sounding board and a guy who's been around a long time. All right, you wanted a different reference other than Hoosiers. I'm going to give you one you and I like a lot, Seinfeld. And you remember the Del Boca Vista episodes in terms of Kramer and Jerry's parents and George's parents going to Del Boca Vista. I'm going to give you this. I'm thinking of doing this because we're doing kind of a remodel in the house, and I want to get your thoughts on this. There's something called, it just went on sale this week. It's the Buena Vista walk-in air pool bathtub. It's a walk-in. It has a door. I love baths. We'll get to that in a second. I don't know if you're a shower or bath guy. It's a walk-in tub with heaters, an integrated seat, all kinds of whirlpools, all kinds of buttons, and two faucets. Not just one, but two. So you get like the spraying one and the real hard water one. And I think this is the greatest thing ever. And I wanted to get your thoughts as a friend because we're thinking about this. It's on sale. Retails for $3,100. You can pick up this baby right now for $2,200. All in on the Buena Vista 54x30 walk-in whirlpool acrylic bathtub. Now, if you're not a bath guy, I don't know what you are, a shower or bath. You might not be as excited as I am, but this is like the Porsches of bathtubs, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay, I have a lot of questions, first of all. Would you say it? Okay. The only reference to Seinfeld, the Del Boca Vista, is the name being Buena Vista?
Yeah, I saw two vistas, so I kind of threw that in there because you wanted a non-Hoosiers reference.
Well, I thought when you said it was like Kramer and Del Boca Vista, you were going to say that you were going to run for like HOA president.
No, but we've seen Kramer, with the soft shower head, and he screamed at Jerry that he had to take a bath. I took a bath. I'm a bath guy. My whole family's bath guys. You have to understand right now in our bathtub, I've got the pillow behind the head, which is a little weird because it gets wet and a lot of people's heads are on that thing. That's never a good thing. But I also have in the middle of the bath, we have what is it called? Like a wood contraption that holds my cell phone, whether I have a sandwich in there or food, holds like an iPad. you can have lunch on there. It's something you put down like a platter, a wood platter that I can put everything on, my phone and everything. I sit in that bath for hour and a half easy, and I just keep putting the hot water in to keep it hot. So I am a huge bath person, but this I'm looking at right now is the absolute A-list bathtub. And I wanted you to tell me, $2,200 all in, how good a deal it might be.
You know what? I haven't priced bathtubs in a while, right? So I don't know how good of a deal it is. It sounds like it's a pretty good deal if it's $31 down to $22.
Yes.
Now, is this with like installation? This sounds like a project.
No, it's not. It's just the tub, and I'd have to.
So it's not $2,200.
Contractor to do a lot of cutting, and it has to fit in a certain way. But I just love the fact there's a door on it. Like, you don't have – and now right. When I go in the bathtub, I have to step over it, and then sometimes I hit the contraption that holds my cell phone, and I kind of like – you know, it's not good. And then I can't really reach the hot water except if I do it with my feet. This way, you can sit in the tub and reach over and just do the water. The jets – there's – let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. I'm counting 12 buttons alone on this thing, and I don't know half of what they're for, but they're probably, like, great things in a bath.
Yeah, it sounds confusing. Now, I feel like the walk-in element
yes.
would lead me to believe that you're like in your 90s.
See, that's not true with the Buena Vista 54 by 30. This is for everybody. You know my son. You don't think that lunatic's going to be in this thing like 10 times a day in the bath with the hot water? Come on.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm very pro fancy bathtub with jets okay. and like having the whirlpool. I haven't put one in, but I do want to put a hot tub in my backyard. Like, that's – I'm a hot tub guy okay. more than a bath guy.
Okay.
But I'm here for this because this is kind of a hybrid, you know, bathtub,
yes.
hot tub.
It's a whirlpool.
For sure. But I think as long as you're not 100 years old, Ed, you can step into the tub. I don't think we need the walk-in.
The other thing this has is it actually has lights. So if you put the lights off the bathroom, put a couple candles on, which I'm known to do – it has lights in the bathtub, so like you don't slip and fall or anything. Like, it has its own lights. It's almost like a hot tub that you want to put in your backyard. It's borderline bathtub, but really more of a hot tub like you want to do.
Yeah, I'm with that, but you can step into it. I don't think we need the walk-in. I'm also the biggest problem I had is because I'm not gonna fight on this as bad as it is that we're just gonna agree. Like, just sitting in the bath with the phone,
yes.
just reading Twitter or Instagram, I'm here for it. I'm not bringing a sandwich.
Oh, I've absolutely had the lunch in there. It's a wood panel that goes across and fits on either side. It's enough for a plate. There's actually a drink holder. You know, the wife with the wine, she had to have that. So we had, you know, the wines in there all the time, bottle or two there. And then there's an actual place for your cell phone. So I can be in there on Twitter, have my dinner, have a nice drink, have the lights out, and it's wonderful. So it's pretty much what we do at this house. It sounds a little weird, but we're all bath people. The only bad thing about my bath is that pillow, which never dries, so you're getting a lot of people's heads on that thing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound ideal, but I'm here for it. Now, I am you might be not surprised to know, I am just a – turn on some hip hop, sit in the bath, guy.
Oh, okay. So you do take and baths?
Maybe not as relaxing. It's not a common thing. But yeah, I mean, I'll do it occasionally. I don't feel like they're as functional as a shower.
Well, you have to you have to take more time. You don't jump in the bath for 5 seconds,
right? And it's also like I feel like a bath is more of an experience than a functional move to like get clean. It's more. It's like, hey, I'm going to enjoy this time and just like spend some me time.
Right.
Like, I'll tell you this. If I take a long bath and I'm, you know, I turn on the hip hop, I would check Twitter. I don't bring food, but that's still weird. But if I take a long bath, I'm taking a shower right after it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I don't feel like the bath is the getting clean move. I feel like it's the relaxing move. And then you got to get clean afterward.
I don't agree with that. I got my nice, like, good smelling soap with the washcloth, and I pump a bunch of that in there and move it around in the water, and I feel pretty clean when I get out. I've never. That's like at the where is it? Like that's like an Olympic swimmer where like Phelps yeah. gets out of the pool, but then he has to jump in the whirlpool. That's a little strange. I've never gone from the bath to the shower.
Well, they're doing that for muscle right. purposes, well. I think. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I'm taking like a 45-minute shower afterwards, but I'm definitely going in the shower for like 4 or 5 minutes after.
I have not done that. I have confidence that I'm clean enough when I get out of the bath. Wash the hair. I dunk the hair in, dunk the head in. Wash it. I dunk the head in back again. We're getting really kind of personal here. And
no, it's good. I mean, we already found out about the sandwiches. Yeah,
I'm good to go. I mean, as long as I'm not tipping over the phone and stuff like that, which would be a disaster if I drop my phone in the bath. I'm in there playing Golf Clash all the time. That's what I do. I pretty much take baths. I actually get off my radio show at 10 a.m. I'm often in the bath by 10:30.
Well, now I'm intrigued. Are we matching up occasionally in Golf Clash without knowing?
Oh, probably. We probably are. I play it, you know, way too much. Like, way too much I play Golf Clash. It's embarrassing how much I play it. So, yeah, I'm sure we've matched up at some point. But Golf Clash and the bath at 10:30 a.m. in the morning, you can't beat.
So people that don't know Golf Clash, it's a one-on-one. You play a hole against somebody just random. Yeah. But you don't really know who they are. No. You're just being matched up and assigned with random people. We've probably played against each other. Me doing it at stoplights, Ed doing it in the bath, probably not ideal on either side. That's probably a disaster. What kind of sandwich would you bring to the bath? I feel like this is a key point because like if it's a certain sandwich, you're like dropping the meat and the lettuce off in the bath.
I actually did it earlier this week. I had to grab some lunch, have a bath. I did with you know those brioche buns, the small brioche little buns you can put a hot dog on and stuff like that. Really nice buns.
okay.
I had tuna fish on two of those. I heated the buns, had my tuna fish with some pickles on top. I had that. Then what did I have? Oh, I had those little chocolate chip cookies that you get at like sporting events in the little yellow bags. I forget what those are called.
I think they're Famous
yes,
Amos.
I had Famous Amos, and I had some orange melon. And that's okay. What was on the plate. And had a one of those ice waters, 5-calorie yellow ice waters, coconut. I had that. That was the lunch, and I had my bath. Yeah.
So that's the issue, though. Like, first of all, before anything else, tuna fish is an objectively disgusting food.
I eat a lot of that stuff, man.
It's objectively disgusting. It's awful. But all of those things, all right, the cookies, as delicious as those cookies are absolutely just crumbling into the tub with you.
A couple got in, yeah. But I have bubbles in there, so I don't usually watch it. I got the bubbles in there for the bubble bath.
Definitely. This is ridiculous. The bubble bath. It's not Jets. You actually pour bubble bath?
I pour a little soap in, and that makes the bubbles. And then, you know, the Jets, sometimes I forget because it's in my closet where you have to push on the button for the Jets. So sometimes I'm just in there with the suds. So if cookies drop in there, 9 times out of 10, I'm not realizing.
Definitely some pieces of tuna also, and absolutely bread. There's nothing you can do about the bread. The bread's going to crumble.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't notice or really care at that point. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, I'm sure half my lunch is in with me.
Well, melon is the proper food to eat in a bath.
Yeah. I mean, pieces of orange melon. I didn't bring the fork, though. I got it with the hand, so that's sometimes bad. But then you just dunk your hand in the water, and it's clean.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for this. I'm going to say, you know what, go ahead and get this tub. Right. I also will say, if we could find a tub without the walk-in, that's kind of the embarrassing part. But if we could because here's the thing. So you have to get in before you turn the water on?
I didn't think of that because, well, you could jump in, turn the water on, jump back out and close the door, I guess. But then, no, you can't do that because when you open the door, the water
comes up. Yeah. Then you got to climb back in.
No, I got to sit down and then do the water. That's a weird feeling too.
Yeah, that's weird. When you're waiting for it to fill up, that's an awful time. It's actually, I'm going to say this. It's a shameful time. You're sitting in an empty bathtub waiting for it to fill. You're just looking around like, what are we doing?
God, 20-some-odd minutes in, you have me rethinking the tub. I might just go with those standalone black matte tubs. I've always wanted those to stand alone with not built in, but just like the black matted ones. Like, I might have to go with that one. Those are nice tubs.
I'm saying just get the tub that you're looking at. Hopefully there's one that doesn't have the walk-in version so you can just climb into the tub, because, as I said, you're not 100. And then, you know, do it that way. The walk-in tub is for somebody that's too old to climb over the tub.
Well, there's a lot to think about, and it's also $2,200. So I will update you next week on what decision we made. Thanks for your input. I appreciate it.
I'm also going to say, Ed, installation will be more than the tub.
Oh, yeah, because they got to do a lot of cutting and banging through. They got to cut it out. Yeah.
Yeah, this sounds like a nightmare.
I'll give you an update next week. That's going to do it for our latest edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation. This podcast has been brought to you by the Las Vegas Review Journal and presented by Blue Wild. Remember now, there are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe to Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcasting app. You can also support this show by leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, and can find all our coverage at VegasNation.com. For Adam, Larry, I'm Ed. Get yourself a bath. We'll talk to you next week. So sometimes I'm just in there with the suds. So if cookies drop in there, eh.
Look for 7 at 7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7 at 7.